trusting God through trying times. Next on The Balanced Word.
When things are going wrong in your life, that does not mean that things are going downhill spiritually. What that means is God is giving you an awesome opportunity to actually make a decision to trust Him when it doesn't feel like it.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
You can probably think of a few examples in your life of people who exhibited incredible faith and trust in God in the most difficult time imaginable. They are living examples of the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk lived this out in one of the darkest times in history. Pastor Dave Rolfe believes this verse in Habakkuk 2:4 speaks volumes to us about trusting God in the tough times. We start off defining what faith is.
What's faith? I think most people don't even understand what faith is. People misuse the term so much. I think the average person believes that that faith means I believe really, really hard. Like I have faith in you, or John Hyatt, just a little faith, you know, come on, trust me. Mark Twain said at one point, he defined faith as this. He said a schoolboy defined faith as being believing in something that you know ain't true. And I think sometimes that's what we think. I have faith in Santa Claus, I have faith in, you know, whatever. It's like this irrational sort of belief. And then as Christians, we think, I need to believe it really good. I need to believe it really hard. I need to be very, very certain. Really, few things could be as far from faith as that. We totally misunderstand the concept. This book, I think it really makes sense, but let me just suggest this to you. Hebrews 11, which among other things, verse 6 tells us that you can't please God without faith. So this is really, really important. But verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11 defines faith. And most people who've been Christians for a long time, you know, they'll go, you know, what is faith? Well, they quote Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I could quote that when I was 3 years old. What does it mean? I don't know. It's just the definition. It means faith. And we make this circle. Well, break it down a little bit. Faith is the substance. It's the reality. It's the content of the things that are in the future, things you're hoping for. How is there substance of something that's yet future? But then he says, it's the evidence of things not seen. In other words, when you can't see, faith is what fills in the gap that causes you to believe, even though you can't see, even though it hasn't happened yet, even though you don't have the answer in your hands, faith is what causes us to go, I don't get it, I can't see, I don't know, it doesn't even look like this is going to happen. What do you put in that gap? Do you put in, then forget it? Or do you put in, but I'm going to trust Him anyway? And that is what faith is, biblically. And that's why God's response to Habakkuk, when Habakkuk's like, this is bad, it looks like it's getting worse, and God's like, yeah, you're telling me, I'm making it worse. And he's like, this can't be you, because my theology says you wouldn't do such a thing, so I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You know, he's just like going off on what God is saying he's going to do, and God goes, so, will you trust me with this one? Or do I really need to do what you want me to do for me to trust you? Because, see, it is not faith to believe in something that you want. That's just faith in you. If I say, and that's where the so-called faith teaching gets it so wrong. The people that most commonly use the word faith are people who believe that if you pray for something and claim it, that you will get it. Nothing could be further from faith than that. That's just manipulating and controlling God. The truth is, you know, we think if I only had more evidence, then my faith would grow. I bet most of you, if I said, so if you saw an amazing miracle right now, if I could take these poinsettias and make them just float up in the air and then change colors, spin around a few times, come back down right now. If I could do that, would that make your faith increase? And I bet a lot of you go, yeah. No, it wouldn't. If you believed in God more because he could make poinsettias fly, you would need less faith. Whenever God does a miracle for you, it does not increase your faith. It actually decreases the likelihood of faith. This is why, you know, when you're a new Christian, and like, man, you can feel God, and he's doing cool things, and some stranger comes up and says, oh, you know, God told me this verse for you, and it's like, whoa, this is my life, this is, you know, this is really cool, this is awesome, oh, God, you're so good. Everything, all the dominoes start to fall. You know, your job improves, and your relationships with people improve, and miracles happen, and then you just go, wow, God, you're so good. You probably thought that was helping your faith, but he was just doing that because he didn't want you to leave. He knew that you didn't have faith when you were a baby Christian, and so he knew he had to do tricks to keep you here. But when you grow, when you get stronger, now he says, okay, now let's do it with our eyes closed. Now let's do it without the cheat sheet. Now let's type without looking at the keys. Now let's live our lives when I don't do magic. And let's see how you do. Because that is what faith is. And that is the only thing that pleases God to live that way. That is the just, that is the right, that is the proper way to the Christian life. Is to go, this is messed up. I don't like it. I can't hear God. I can't see God. This is so confusing and unfair. And this shatters what I believe about God. And God's like waiting. And then you go, oh, but I'm going to trust him anyway. That is what's faith. And that's when God is pleased. And until we learn that, we'll never figure out this Christian life. We will continue to insist on needing help instead of making faith the substance of what we're hoping for, letting faith be the evidence itself. And so God's response to Habakkuk is, yeah, you're right. I'm not doing what you want me to do. This is painful and it's going to get worse and it looks totally unfair to you. It looks like I'm just all messed up. So, what are you going to do then? It's like when Jesus told the disciples, and told a lot of people who were following him at the time, okay, next step, you need to eat my body and drink my blood. And they're like, whoa, cannibalism. And most of the people left. There were a handful of disciples who stayed. And he goes, so you guys aren't leaving? And they didn't say, Jesus, we can understand a metaphor. I knew you didn't mean literally eating your body and blood. That would be silly. That would be against the Old Testament. That's bad. We can't eat you. So we just figure you must be speaking symbolically. No, they didn't. They were still freaked out as everyone else. But Peter made this statement. Where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. It's like, man, I have trusted you. And so if that means we're eating you, okay, man, serve it up. Because I'm with you. Now, it turns out he obviously didn't want them to literally eat his body. But they didn't get what he was saying. And as a result, they had a choice. What are you going to do when you don't understand? And that is the decision of faith. And that is the essence of the Christian life. See, When things are going wrong in your life, that does not mean that things are going downhill spiritually. What that means is God is giving you an awesome opportunity to actually make a decision to trust Him when it doesn't feel like it. So therefore, if you look back on your week, and I look back on my week, there are some things that happened that were awesome, that we're so grateful for. And it's like, I spent last week out in the desert studying for my dissertation and just spending time with the Lord. Had awesome. I don't want you to think I was in a tent under a yucca tree. A friend of mine has this awesome house in La Quinta. And, you know, so, yeah, picture me in a jacuzzi looking at the stars at night, okay? But during the week, man, a lot of awesome, God showed me some cool things. He just spoke to me. He encouraged me. He strengthens me. And I looked at, boy, that was great. But some of the best things that happened last week were things that were painful. There were things that I had to think about, that I had to wrestle through, that were difficult. And, you know, the whole week, all the great things that happened, they're good for me. But they didn't increase my faith at all. They made me want to buy a house in Palm Springs. But, you know, at the same time, the only thing that'll really make me grow is when I don't get what I want. It's when things are challenging and difficult. And it might be that for you in this last week, I'm sure there are people in here who had greater challenges than my greatest challenge ever. And maybe you were wrestling with it this last week. Do you understand that perhaps those challenges were your opportunity for greatness? Were your opportunity for faith? Can you believe that? Because that's how God works. I don't like it any better than you do, but it's the truth. And when I look back on it, I acknowledge, wow, it worked. Those times that I looked back and thought, this is awful, where is God? Sometimes turns out to be some of the most fruitful times. But even when it doesn't feel fruitful, even when all I do is just hang in there, even when I feel like quitting and all that I can do is I'm not going to quit, not going to give up on God, and I feel nothing, what God feels is pleasure. He approves of me. He is pleased with me, even when it doesn't feel good. When I just decide not to quit, God is pleased. Now, we see in Habakkuk, it's interesting to see how the story turns out. So look at chapter 3, the way the book ends. Habakkuk in chapter 3 and beginning with verse 17, he says, okay, here's the deal. He writes a song, actually. We don't know the tune. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. That's where the hinds feet in high places thing came from, that verse. That's pretty amazing. Because all he hears from God is more and more, it's bad, it's getting worse, it's bad, it's getting worse. It's like, God, all you say to me are things that disrupt my theological understanding, that disrupt my sense of fairness. God, you're making yourself look really bad, but I'll trust you. And again, maybe like the disciples, I just don't have any other options. So I'll trust you. And God says, that pleases me more than when I answer your prayers in the way you want me to. That pleases me. Because we're really finding out whether you are for real or whether you are just coming to me because I make your life better. There's a subtle message that we often send, even when we share the gospel with people, that gives you the idea that, man, your life's all screwed up. Well, come to Jesus, and it'll be so much better. He'll solve all your problems. You'll just be rejoicing. And yeah, of course somebody's going to want to come to Jesus if he can just come and fix everything. But he doesn't say he will do that until heaven. And so would we even come to him at all if we knew that it might make our life harder? Well, now we find out whether we really want to trust him or not. Job is one of the shining examples of this, where when he lost his family, and except for his wife, who he would have been better off losing, and he lost all of his businesses, servants, everything else, and he laid down on the ground before God and he worshiped him. And he said, man, God, I came into the world naked, and I'm going to leave naked. They didn't put suits on him back then. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And later he said, if he kills me, I'm still going to trust him. We're such wimps in what we're willing to take. I think of some of the people that I know that we would call disabled or disadvantaged. Oh, you know, maybe they don't have the ability to walk like we do, or maybe they can't do the things, maybe they can't think the way we think, maybe they can't be a good student, or maybe no one likes them, maybe they're ugly or whatever, and we just go, oh, yeah, those poor disadvantaged people. How can we miss this? People who have those kinds of so-called disabilities actually have these amazing opportunities to exercise faith in the way that some of us never will. You know, how much faith does it take for me to walk on the stage? I can walk. I know I do this all the time. Even if it hurts sometimes, I can still walk. It doesn't take any faith for me to lean on this pulpit. It doesn't take faith. Are you kidding me? I mean, I've leaned on it 1,000 times. I put this thing together. I bought it and screwed it together. I know if I'm going to be standing behind it, it better hold up. And so it doesn't take faith for me to do this. It's not going to break. If it broke, it would be really cool. But I can't do that 3 services. So where's the faith? But you find somebody who hits their limit and they go, I still trust God. That amazes me. A guy with no arms and no legs who trusts God, that's the kind of faith that I can only dream of. So who would think that adversity becomes an opportunity? Well, in the school of faith, that's exactly what it is. Now, you might go, gee, I have it pretty good, so I guess I just can't please God. No, the truth is, I don't care what you have, what you can do, what privileges you were born into or you've accomplished or whatever, every one of us has our own challenges. If you aren't feeling pain somewhere in your life, your head is under a rock. Because there's pain everywhere we look, if you're willing to look. There are people we deeply care about who are in lots of pain. Do we embrace that? Do we welcome that? Or do we run from it? For many of us, we just like, oh, when I see that person, I head the other direction because I can't stand to hear more of the stuff they're going through. I'm just trying to survive with my own stuff. Gosh, maybe some of the most precious things you have are the things you've been praying that God would take away. Maybe some of the greatest opportunities for faith in your life are the very things you can't stand, that you've even become bitter against God for him giving you an opportunity to show that you really trust him, instead of for you to just go, everyone to look at you and go, of course you trust God. He gives you everything you want. What is it that you've been praying for God to take away? And you feel like he just isn't answering. It's not getting better. There's a clue for you that God is zooming in on that area and saying, will you live by faith or won't you? One of my favorite songs back in the 70s, Barry McGuire sang a song and he said, I walked a mile with pleasure. We chatted all the way, leaving me none the wiser with all she had to say. But I walked a mile with sorrow. And never a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. The frost is in the valley, the mountaintops turn gray. The promised buds all wither, their blossoms fade away. But our loving Father whispers, all this comes from my hand. And blessed are you when you trust what you just don't understand. Will you see it as a blessing that there are things in your life that you don't understand, but you go, okay, it's all right. I'm not going to fight this. I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to put all of my hopes and energies on changing this. If he changes it, great. If he doesn't, I don't care. He's a good God, and I trust him. And if he kills me, I'm going to continue to trust him. You guys, that is what the Christian life is all about. The just, the people who are doing it right, will live by faith. Habakkuk discovered this way back then in one of the darkest times in all of history. And if you are in one of the darkest times in your history, it still rings true for you and for me today.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. Hey, we have new service times here at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. We hope to see you sometime soon. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Here to reflect on Habakkuk 2:4 for just a minute or two, Pastor Dave once again.
I really am not interested in a religion that's fake. I'm really not interested in getting up here and pretending things aren't the way they are to con you into coming to Jesus. This is reality. This is real. If it wasn't real, I wouldn't waste my time on it. I wouldn't want it. If there was no hope, if there was no God that's worth trusting in the middle of pain, I would just become an existentialist and just go, yep, life stinks and that's just the way it is and I'm done. But to say, yes, what exists exists, but I'm going to trust him, that's where I'm staking my bet. I could be wrong, but I would rather live my life believing and trusting in God and even being wrong than to live my life taking a chance at thinking he just isn't there and finding out I was wrong and that he was. And so it's really, if you're a betting person, it's just a smart bet. It's a sucker's bet to give up on God. For me, I have found, I've had great times with God. Don't get me wrong. God's done amazing things. I'm surrounded with blessings in my life. But I'll just tell you, The things that help me to grow the most and the things that cause me to depend on him the most were the things that even to this day, I don't understand why it happened. But I just went, okay, I'll trust you. And that's true for you too, whether you even realize it or not. It's a decision. How do you want to live your life? When it's dark, when it's difficult.
King Jesus is coming. But have you ever wondered why it's taking so long? Next time on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Roth assures us there's a very good reason for the delay. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands, and the instrument I play, wake up my